This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Election Day is coming this Tuesday, and we continue now with our series of one-on-one conversations with the candidates for governor. We spoke with the incumbent Democrat Deval Patrick yesterday. Today, we talk with Green Rainbow candidate Jill Stein. And here Stein is 2 nights ago in the last debate of the campaign.
What we have now in Massachusetts is a state where things are working great for the fortunate few. Income gains of the past 10 years have gone largely to the top 1%, but ordinary people are really struggling.
Stein supports ditching Massachusetts health reform in favor of a nationwide single-payer system. She opposes any casino gambling in the state. She supports Cape Wind in theory, but she thinks the contract needs to be rebid. She wants to restore the cuts to higher education, human services, and local aid that the Patrick administration has made amid the economic crisis. And to help pay for it, she proposes a progressive income tax in Massachusetts instead of the flat 5.3% that we pay across all incomes. We sent Radio Boston intern Griff McNerney over to Coolidge Corner in Brookline to ask voters there what they think about Jill Stein.
Maureen Grace, and I'm an interior designer. I thought she's compassionate, but she seemed quite tentative on things she wasn't comfortable with. And I think in order to really make an impact, she needs to sound very sure and very knowledgeable.
My name is Russ Kennedy. I'm a health psychologist fellow. What I like about her is that she represents a different voice, that she doesn't come in with the establishment and she doesn't come in with the old establishment. So she really comes in with saying there are some serious problems that need to be fixed and that she's there to fix them.
My name's Kevin Tanney. I'm a software engineer.
Well, I don't know. It's when times are tough, people usually vote their wallets, and I think she may present a little too much change for people at this time.
My name is Jenna Marquardt, and I'm a voter. I think she's a very aware person and definitely interested in the good of everyone. I'm really rooting for her and hoping that some people might catch on quickly. That's all I can do, right? Be hopeful, because what's the alternative?
Those were voters in Coolidge Corner, Brookline, talking about their thoughts on Green Rainbow gubernatorial candidate Jill Stein. And Jill Stein is with us now in the studio. Jill, thank you for being here.
It's great to be here. Thanks so much, Sasha.
And listeners, we welcome your comments or questions for Jill Stein. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Jill Stein, at Monday night's debate, you were asked what you would do in your first days in office to spur job creation in Massachusetts. And we have a piece of sound that it was your answer to that question.
I will take $200 million, which is sort of waiting to be spent right now from the governor's office on shopping malls and office parks, which is one approach that I think is not justified, doesn't work. We have a glut of shopping malls and office parks with high vacancy rates already. I'll create a revolving loan fund right then and there because there are businesses that are ready to get started and to expand.
Jill Stein, you've frequently referred to this $200 million that the Patrick administration is spending on shopping malls and office parks, as you put it. Could you briefly for us explain to us what you're referring to?
It's been covered several times in the Boston Globe. This is a $200 million fund of state money that the governor's economic guru, Gregory Bialecki, has been looking for a few good developers to give the money to so that they can jumpstart their private developments and build more shopping malls and office parks. And the problem is that we already have plenty of them. And he was having a hard time finding people. This was covered in February. It was covered again in May. This large pot of money that is being doled out to basically do more of what we already have that doesn't work. We want to see that money put into creating the green jobs that help jumpstart the economy and that, in fact, transition us to a healthier, more resilient and sustainable local economy. So, for example, let's make it available to the small businesses in weatherization, in healthy, sustainable food production and so on.
So as of today, actually, that project has met its 50-project mark. And, you know, some of those things, in addition to office parks and shopping malls, are affordable housing developments, hospitals, the high-performance computing center in Holyoke. I wonder, when you consider that those were also funded, if you still feel that same way about that program.
Well, indeed, there may be portions of it which are being well spent, but I think it needs to be looked at because to the extent that it is funding shopping malls and office parks, that's a real problem because we don't need it. And there are other areas of the economy where we desperately need it. But the important point here is not to find one perfect source of funding because there are many of them. And in fact, if you look at this $1.1 billion in economic development tax expenditures, so many of these are being spent in areas that are absolutely unjustified. right. As the governor himself said during his campaign 4 years ago, a corporation in need of a handout in order to stay here is a corporation that's about to go out of business. And there are many other authorities that have said the same thing, including the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, Paul O'Neill, the former Treasury of the Secretary. You know, Secretary of the Treasury, it's been really well established that handing out large corporate tax giveaways is really not a basis for a business deciding whether to come here or not.
You just referenced green jobs a bit earlier, and you've talked about trying to use, I think, as you just said, some of this money to create a loan fund for green business. You addressed this as well on Monday night. Let's hear that little piece as well.
There are businesses that are ready to get started and to expand in the area of green jobs. These are jobs that pay for themselves, so the loan gets repaid right away.
And what do you mean when you say that the green jobs pay for themselves?
Great question, Sasha. Green jobs, in my view, are areas of the economy that are waiting to take off because they are sustainable and because they're here for the long haul and because they fulfill really urgent needs. So, for example, when we weatherize homes, businesses, and government buildings, we're saving a lot of money. And we know that those costs are paid back within a few years. So I'm talking about making this loan fund available not only to the businesses that need to start up, but also to the consumers, to the businesses themselves that need to get weatherized, and to the homeowners that want to weatherize and save money. So there, you've basically paid back the loan, and you've created a market, a profitable market for the provider. In the area of what we call recycling manufacturing, where you're taking materials out of the waste stream that otherwise we have to pay in order to dispose of, and they add to our pollution burden in air and landfills and water and so on, there too we can put those materials back into use, and they pay for themselves in the savings from averted disposal. And then there's the issue of health. To the extent that we are creating jobs that are making us healthier, that are cleaning up the air and air pollution, that are providing healthy food, the farmers markets and the community gardens and the farm to hospital programs and so on, we get a payback in terms of a health benefit.
Since so many of the paybacks you're talking about are long-term benefits, how would those loans be paid back immediately if we have to wait a while to see the benefits?
Well, the turnaround actually for weatherization is quick.
But what about the others, the ones that are longer term?
That's right. That's why we can't do it all. We can't pay back these loans immediately, and we need to be able to jumpstart them. And that's why we're talking about the biggest budget buster, in the whole budget, and that's health insurance and health care, which, as you know, has grown from 35% of the budget 10 years ago to 50% of the budget now. And we know that most of our health care dollars are actually paying for disease care rather than health care, but the quick savings there is in health insurance reform.
When I introduced you, I mentioned that you favor a progressive income tax, so similar to as we have at the federal level.
Yes.
Right now, we pay a flat 5.3% income tax in the state. If you had your way, what would the tax brackets look like? So if I earned $100,000 or I earned $50,000, what would I pay in taxes?
You know, I think the point is to get to a fair tax structure and a tax policy that supports our critical needs. So, you know, to my mind, if you look at the whole tax structure now, while income tax may be flat, when you actually add up all the state and local taxes, it's middle-income families and working families that are paying at twice the rate that millionaires are. And that's even without including the fees, which are much more regressive. So we want to balance that out.
Haven't nailed down your tax brackets yet.
Absolutely not. That's right. And in fact, because it takes a while to pass a progressive income tax, we want to make another reform which will get us there in the same year, and that is by increasing the personal exemption, greatly increasing the personal exemption, and increasing the rate so that you can find a cut point where most people are getting a tax reduction, but at the higher income brackets, you can achieve a tax increase. So we do not want to, let me repeat, we will not and we do not want to increase the burden on middle-income and lower-income taxpayers. We're talking clearly about millionaires and half-millionaires, which are essentially the top 3 or 4%. And then possibly a little bit below that, because when you get up to $250,000 and $300,000 income, that's when you begin to get this extreme tax benefit, which is just not justified.
I'm talking to Green Rainbow gubernatorial candidate Jill Stein, and we have a caller for you, Jill, from Plymouth. This is Jason. And Jason, what is your question for Jill Stein?
Well, I think politics is broken because we have a two-party system, and I really want to vote for you, a third-party candidate. But what do you say to a voter who might believe as you do and want to vote for a third-party candidate, but might think that they're throwing it away
possibly
putting in a Charlie Baker into office?
Great question, Jason. And so my first response to that is that we know where we're going with business as usual. And in my view, we're throwing our votes away to just, continue with more of the same that's absolutely not working. And let me point out that while there are sort of different spins and different styles, if you actually look at the priorities of all three of the insider candidates, they're all supporting casinos as the way to jumpstart our economy. They're all supporting this incredible budget-busting, profiteering health insurance system. They're all supporting the tax giveaways that wind up raising your taxes and making it impossible to fund the programs that we all really need. So remember also that this is not Washington, D.C., and the governor cannot single-handedly take us to war. This is Massachusetts, where we have a 90% Democratic legislature, and even if some of those seats turn over, we will still have an enormous Democratic majority that still runs the show. The legislature can pass any law, any budget, and override any veto. So there's an enormous safeguard, and there's little risk in actually standing up and voting your values. And remember, the real solution here to a voting system that can create unintended consequences with your vote, the real system is a voting reform called instant runoff voting, also called ranked choice voting. And that's been sitting in the legislature, and we've been trying to get that passed for about 10 years now, and they don't pass it because they rely on the politics of fear.
Jill Stein, we can get through some more callers because many have questions for you. We have someone from Princeton, Massachusetts, and this is Megan. And Megan, what is your question for Jill Stein?
Hi, Dr. Stein. How are you today?
Good, Megan. Thanks for your call.
Good. I was listening to your positions advocating green jobs, and my question is regarding biomass power plants, which is the controversial thing going on right now, especially in the western part of our state.
That's right.
Where the corporations are touting them as green jobs, whereas many of us citizens believe that these pollute our environment worse than coal power plants, and I was wondering what your position is on limiting state funding to these plants.
I agree with you, Megan, completely. I think that biomass is a case of greenwashing for the most part, and that these plants are extremely inefficient. They rely on a forest energy supply, which will be devastating to our forests, and they are extremely polluting. Even making them more efficient, they are still very polluting. We can't afford it. I think we need to move forward with conservation and efficiency and reducing our energy footprint, but biomass is absolutely the wrong way to go, and we should certainly not be providing state subsidies for it.
Jill Stein, let me move for a minute to something much lighter. And I want to refer again to Monday night's debate when the moderator, Charlie Gibson, asked a few, let's call them beauty pageant questions, as one of our political analysts described it earlier this week. So let's listen to a couple of your answers to those questions.
The book that's on your bedside table.
I don't actually have a book on my
table. What's on your Kindle?
No.
Don't have one? And your favorite movie actor, the person you'd go see, even if the movie was lousy.
I'm fairly indiscriminate in movies. You can take me to anything.
Jill Stein, why not answer those questions? Were you just not ready for them?
Oh, why I don't answer them, in truth, I'm not reading novels. I'm trying to keep up with the New England Journal of Medicine. So I'm not reading novels in general. I'm not going to movies these days either. And, I'm just not pretending. I'm not sort of pretending to be a different kind of candidate than the person that I am. So, I just sort of didn't go the extra mile to explain myself and didn't feel like I had to. But, there's the truth if you want it. I'm reading the New England Journal of Medicine and trying to keep up with medicine when I have a chance.
You have run, I think this is your third statewide campaign and your second for governor. Will you run for a major office after this, assuming you don't win, which you're 2%, so you won't win? Will you run again?
I'd say this is not about me. When I looked forward to this election and heard that Tim Cahill would be running, it would be a three-way race, and we would hear all three candidates that are promoting casinos, all three candidates that are talking about more tax breaks for big, large corporations and the wealthy and the well-connected, and three candidates that are all talking about this and promoting and supporting the same profiteering, budget-busting system of health insurance. To my mind, that's an outrage. There's no debate here, and I think it's very important that voters who are really clamoring for real change actually have a chance to hear from a proponent of change. So, you know, I think what I do with my career, fortunately, I have a lot of choices and there are many things that I can do. But what I've learned in advocating for health, what I've learned in advocating for a healthy economy, is that we're not going to get changes until we have a government that's on our side and that's working for us and that's not swamped in lobbyist money. So I think it was really important and continues to be important going forward for us to have a choice, because the ship is going down. And I think people will continue to see that even after this election. We're going to increasingly need a real choice for
change. Very briefly, in the time we have left, you've consistently polled very low, even though you've had a presence in the debates, and you certainly have a small, hard core of voters. Why not? Why have you never been able to climb Bill above, much above 2%?
Well, I think it might have something to do with the fact that we don't get covered. Even when we're in debates, even when we're in the crowd, even when we have standing ovations, we're completely written out of the coverage. And there have been two televised debates, two of them for 2 hours, so not many people are watching because they're so turned off and off-put by where our politics has gone. I think
Jill
it
Stein.
Needs more grassroots candidates, not fewer.
Thank you for coming in. Jill
Thank
Stein is the Green Rainbow candidate for governor. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.